Words for Life is by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church here in Melbourne.
It's fair to ask today, do words matter? Does it really matter what you say? Isn't it action that counts? If we look at our politics, it's endless words, most of which mean nothing. Don't actions count? Or maybe you have that saying from the school playground, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, the only problem with that saying is it's not true. Because some of the deepest wounds and things that weigh us down in our heart are words that people have said. Or maybe you've got that bit of pop psychology. It's not what others think about me that matters, it's only what I think about myself. It sounds good, doesn't it? All that matters is what I say I think about me, not what they think. Except it's not actually true in real life. If you're an artist and aspiring to produce great works of art and wanting to progress in your career, if everyone sees your art and says it's rubbish, that matters. Because words matter. We forge our identity, our sense of significance, our purpose, our meaning in community with others, with one another. And so our words are actually far more significant and important than maybe we first thought. Proverbs takes words extremely seriously. Proverbs spends much of the book talking about what you say, what is on your tongue, what your mouth does, and how you respond to the words of instruction. We need words to get wise, but we need particular words, not just any words. And words themselves are very powerful and create our sense of meaning. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 21 tells us, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has the power of life and death. That's a lot of power, isn't it? Life and death is vitally important. Life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, what is the fruit of the tongue? What do we need? How does the tongue help us? I think that verse is a bit of a play on words. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, if we love the tongue, do we get the power of life? If we love the tongue, do we get the power of death? How do we know? What is the fruit of the tongue? Where does it lead us? And so this evening, I want to break up the teaching of Proverbs on words into the words that destroy, the words that help, and the words of hope. We see that here, words can bring death. They can trouble us. It says in Proverbs 10, verse 19 and 21, fools die for lack of judgment. When words are many, sin is not absent. And he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the lips of the righteous nourish many. When words are many, when you talk a lot, no matter what you do, it says sin is not absent. When you talk a lot, sin is always there. Personal agendas are always there. Selfish desires are always there. which is why it says, he who holds his tongue is wise. When we use our words, we need to be careful. It says the heart of the wicked is of little value. Worse still, fools die for lack of judgment. So that our words don't just hurt other people, our words can hurt us. Our words can trouble us. And so we're in trouble. Proverbs 12:14 says, from the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. Or Proverbs 12:18-19, reckless words pierce like a sword. If you're casual with your words, you can hurt people. They pierce like a sword. You know, you can say sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. But Proverbs says, reckless words pierce like a sword. They cut us. Even if you're accidentally pierced by a sword, you're going to scar. You might survive. The contrast is the tongue of the wise brings healing. It restores. It renews. James takes this even further in his chapter on the tongue. In James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what part of a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. Words have the power of life and death. And if you choose reckless words, foolish words, words that ignore God, the destination of those words is hell. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire. It's pretty graphic, isn't it? Words are dangerous. And we need to be wise with our words. We need help with our words. But there is more to this. We need words that bring delight. We need help with our words. See, the fear of the Lord is the fountain of life. And we need help with it. We need to be renewed. We need more than just empty, reckless words. I'll get rid of that. And so when we come and look a little closer, we find that God gives words that are wise. There are words that bring life. Proverbs 17:28 tells us, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. If we want to give people wise words, we need to exercise self-control. We need help. Or Proverbs 16:23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. They are sweet to the soul and bring healing to the bones. The wise man who starts with the fear of the Lord, brings out words that come from that worldview. He brings wisdom that guides his mouth, that looks and points people to hope in God, and instruction that comes from him. And those sort of words are different. They don't bring death, they bring life. A honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones, is what it says. They are sweet. They are precious. They bring delight. In the same way, in Proverbs 10, the tongue of the righteous is described as choice silver. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Some words build us up. They bring life. They bring hope. You see, it's not just enough to exist. We need to know why we're here. We need to know what the purpose of life is, why life is important, why we are significant. And all that comes from God. The wise man points to God. The wise woman looks to God's words. Because we need hope today. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life." Words help us grow. They restore us. They renew us when they are the right words. And so we don't need the foolish words or the reckless words. We need words that help us today. Where do we find those sorts of words? Well, it comes to do with our hope and what we hope for in our hearts. See, words help us to look beyond ourselves. Proverbs 10:11 reminds us that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Isn't that astounding? Our words can be a fountain of life, not just to others, but to ourselves. The things we say when we're careful, when we reflect on the Word of God, can come out of us and produce life. More than ever today, we need words that generate life among us. The world is depressing. There are lots of things we can worry about. It's troubling. We need words that bring life. Proverbs 24 verse 26 tells us an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Now that might seem like a bit of a strange image. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. And yes, it does have connotations of intimacy and pleasure. But I think in the ancient world it's a bit different. Herodotus talked about the way people greet one another depending on their status. To kiss someone on the lips was to indicate that they are on the same level as you. If they were of slightly lower status, you would kiss them on the cheek. If you're of much lower status, you would bow on the floor in front of them. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. It is saying we are equals. It is a sign of respect. An honest answer helps us to navigate the difficulties of our world where so much is confusing. If you choose not to give an honest answer to someone, you're actually denying them their right to understand the world around them. You're obscuring it. You're making it more difficult. But an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Proverbs 25:15 takes this a step further. It says, "Through patience a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone." That's a little more disturbing, isn't it? A gentle tongue can break a bone. And I think what it means by gentle here is not so much docile or quiet, but calm, direct, but certainly having an intention. It is sharing truth which cuts to the very heart. The gentle tongue here is not slinking back from conflict, but meeting a person at their level It's like that honest answer being a kiss on the lips. If someone comes to you with a truth and they're doing it for your interest, it might need to be obvious that it's not in their interest, that they're not trying to butter you up, they're not trying to get anything out of you, they're not trying to put themselves above you. But they're coming with the truth for your sake. That sort of truth can actually break a bone. It can hit you hard. It can cut through the rubbish. We need that sort of truth on our lips. Truth that is not just coming at us in order to upset us or set us back, but truth that gives us what we need to know. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Being quiet with our words, patient, humble, but truthful, has immense power. That should not be underestimated today. That sort of word is what we need to share with one another. But for a moment, if you think there's any ulterior motive in it, if it comes flippantly or casually, it's not going to work. We need that sort of deep language which comes from trusting one another. It's why wounds from a friend can be trusted. We need to speak truth gently, calmly. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." We need words that give us hope, words that point us to life. And Proverbs 13:14 says, "The words of the wise are a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death." That is, the words or the teaching of the wise help us in finding life. What's startling is in the next chapter, it says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. They are the same thing. Words of the wise, the fear of the Lord. They both turn us from the snares of death. They give us hope. They take us forward. We need that fountain of life. Just imagine water in the desert. That's the image here. And as we look around today, we live in a desert. We need words of life. Words that have the power not just to give us the truth, but to give us hope. And so we look at the destiny of our words. Where are they taking us? We need hope today. We need purpose today. See, James doesn't leave us at a good place with the tongue. We don't have much hope. And if you think too much about what Proverbs says about words, you'll realize how often we fall short. We need more hope than that. And Jesus' assessment of words is similar. Matthew 12, verse 33. "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit." What comes out of us shows us what we're like on the inside. Because our words don't just come flippantly out of our minds, but out of our hearts. And if you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about the heart in Proverbs and the Bible, it's not just what you feel. The heart is all of you. It's the control center for your whole being. It is your thoughts, your desires, your passions, your emotions. It's everything directed. But our hearts are part of the problem. We need our hearts changed so that our words will be different. And the answer of the Bible is actually Acts chapter 2. It's Pentecost. When do our words get better? When the Holy Spirit comes, when God changes our heart from the inside, when we get hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that changes everything. That is when life changes. And that is where we find hope. So what words do we need today? We need words that come from God. We can get wisdom from Proverbs, but we need to know Jesus in our hearts. If we want the sort of words that will change our church, our community, our society, they need to be words that come from the fear of God. Words that come out of Jesus dwelling in our hearts. If you look at the words that Jesus spoke, he was always wise, always gentle, but he didn't hold back. He wasn't hesitating from telling the truth. He went for it. He was honest and forceful. Those are the words we need today. Words that come not out of self-interest, which the fools do, but wise words that come looking for the interests of others ahead of your own. Those are the words we need and what we find when we know Jesus. Let's pray that God will be at work in our church and in our words together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words in the gospel. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is the word that declares us forgiven and free. Lord, use our words to lead people to life. Help us to be wise in what we say and don't say. Give us good judgment that we might build one another up and find our hope in you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Words for